Hey, when you ride along with your dog in your car, does he know you're driving or does he just think you're riding along together?
I'd like to begin by asking you a few questions about how this whole mess got started. Do you remember seeing him for the first time?
Yeah. You guys here on vacation?
Certainly are.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Well, it's a she, but I think she knows I'm driving. No?
How would she know that?
Well, because I'm in the driver's seat. She's pretty smart. I don't know. What made you think of that?
Stole it from Reddit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm pretty sure my dog's highly intelligent and absolutely knows. She'd probably drive herself, but, you know, she's got no thumbs, so.
Michelle, I just dropped the most perfect piece of salmon on the deck.
You did not.
Because you were rushing me.
I did not rush you. I told you, I said, take your time. Did you really drop your food?
I just scooped it. I just spatulated it up. And
no, never... you did not.
I did too.
You picked it up off the deck and ate it?
Yeah. What else am I going to do?
Like outside?
Well, my indoor deck is under a reconstruction, Michelle. Yeah, of course outside. What are you talking about?
I hope there's not like any rabid squirrels that just urinated on your
deck.
No,
they don't come. It was still sizzling from the barbecue, so it was sterile.
So it's sterile. Oh, okay. Okay. So the squirrel hair was sterile.
There's no squirrels on my deck, Michelle.
Never?
Never.
Okay. Well, you win.
All right, Michelle, even though here we are with West Coast Project and the Affair 308, even though there are no episode titles, Michelle, the reviewers are dialing them up for this episode.
What do you mean?
Well, two I've seen are The Awful Truth and People See What They Want to See, which I think is a line from one of the people, one of the characters this week.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Helen, it's actually what Helen said to Allison. That's interesting.
So the New York Times did a sex count. They have a sex scoreboard for this episode, Michelle. Or for this season.
Really?
This was the first sex-free episode.
Was it really?
In all 7 weeks. So if you're keeping score at home, and remember, please, no wagering. Still that from David Letterman. All right, so the score is Helen 3, sex scenes.
Okay.
Vic, Max, and Noah. Allison 2 sex scenes, Michelle. Cole and Noah.
Right.
Noah 2 sex scenes. Allison and Helen.
Okay.
Cole 1 sex scene, Allison.
That's pretty bad.
Juliet 1 sex scene with the undergraduate Mike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I started to say with who, but yeah.
And Whitney and Furcat probably have sex scenes, but they don't have any record of showing it to us.
No, we didn't. We haven't been tortured with that so far.
So what's your sex scene count, Michelle?
No comment.
Well, this is a podcast, Michelle. You got to have comments. You already made me drop my salmon on the deck, and I'm rushing to...
I can't believe you did that. Did you hear about salmon? I mean, supposedly they have like a tapeworm in them or something.
Oh,
some of the salmon.
You
no,
and
I'm
your
serious.
Nut allergies and your salmon.
Do not have a
shellfish.
Nut allergy. no, seriously. This some salmon caught off the Alaskan coast have some kind of tapeworm.
That's what makes it taste good.
I don't think so.
Well, if you don't cook it properly, maybe.
Yeah, well, yeah, of course.
What
I
happens
think
if you get
like in sushi.
Pork and you don't trigonosis, you don't cook it properly?
Well, but yeah, but you don't eat pork uncooked. But salmon is frequently eaten in sushi raw, right?
Well, yeah.
And I think that if it's... They said if it was frozen in a deep freeze or something for so long that it would kill it or something. I don't know. I don't know. Absolutely do not take my advice on that kind
of
stuff.
Don't spread rumors, Michelle.
Right. Now, yeah, that's pretty bad.
All right, Michelle, how'd you like 308 here?
I'm having a hard time going back and forth this season for some reason between Allison and Cole and Noah and Helen. It just feels like it's almost two different television shows to me. And I know it's not, obviously. And there's some, you know, some crossover. But I'm having, it takes me forever to like get into it when we go back and forth like that. You know, like we were really into Allison and the birthday party and all that kind of stuff, right? And then we went back to Noah again. And so I kind of had to gear up for that. Now I had to like gear back up for this. I thought it was a great episode. I know it got a lot of comments. People were saying that it was one of their favorite episodes. I don't think I would go that far, but.
Well, who cares what those amateurs think? I'm asking you what you think.
I felt it was a little forced at the beginning. It felt like it was a little rushed, maybe. And even as it progressed, I think that we're seeing some things that I'm just not real clear on. And maybe you can help me with that when we get to them.
Well, I thought they always try to make one character per episode an evil villain, and this time it was Cole. I think they try to make Cole evil in this episode.
How do you feel about Cole overall?
I don't know. I don't like him getting back together with Allison, and I don't like him like settling for Louisa.
No, I don't either. I don't like any of that. I was really disappointed, I think, in that. Not in the show, because it really made me think, and I thought that was a good part, but I don't like that dynamic in a human. That was really, you know, it's kind of painful. This has been pretty intense to watch, I think.
I don't know if I felt that it's intense to watch. It's kind of it's kind of wacky. It's kind of like superficial entertainment now. It's not as deep, I think, as it was when I first thought when I first started watching it, I thought it was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. Like, I don't want Cole to go back to Allison and Noah to go back to Helen. And, you know, I don't think either of those things are going to happen necessarily, but they're trying to, like, shoehorn that in, I think.
Or tease us with it, one or the other. I don't know that I would care if Cole went back to Allison if he hadn't married Louisa. And I think it was just that whole thing where he's saying, I'm not Noah.
You can't go back. You know, that's why I can't do this. I said this last week. You can't go backwards. You got to take everything you learn and use it forward.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that means you can't be with somebody that you've been with before, though. But I just don't like the dynamic of that, because it is. She's right. He's right. It's going to turn him into as bad a person as she was. Oh, and that scene that she had with that mother. I don't know. There was a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff to talk about.
All right. Starts out part one, Allison. The attorney's ripping her in court. Gutman.
Yeah.
Judgment of divorce from Noah is in the works. The prosecutor calls Louisa. Louisa Leon. We learned Louisa's last name if we hadn't known it before. I guess I'd never recognized it before. And Louisa helps Allison, Michelle. She tells the truth that Allison should have her daughter back. Should be shared custody even more than what's offered in court.
Yeah, and Allison's like stunned by this. I felt like that was really, really rushed. We find out it's only been just a few days since Joni spent the night with Allison. So all of that angst and everything that went on, and then suddenly, you know, Louisa has this complete change of heart. Why?
Well, Michelle, because Louisa,
she came back and she was happy?
Louisa is now hot again. She's officially jumpable. She's no longer the hateable bitch that she was the first couple episodes.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, that's how cults are, you know. And I didn't like her in this episode either. I felt sorry for her the whole time.
Oh, forget about Cole. I'm talking about me. I mean, we might even let her on the podcast.
You would? Okay, it'd be great.
So in the lobby of the courtroom, Cole agrees to shared custody. And Allison's attorney says it's over now. It's all settled. It's good job. It's over. Moving on. And Cole and Louisa at this point look like they're really in trouble because something was said in court that they had not previously agreed to. Like, Louisa spontaneously came up with this decision.
Right. She just got up there and, like, you know, brought it up. And the attorney said, that's not even on the table. And she goes, well, maybe it should be. And then she's talking to Cole and she says, you know, I'm just tired of talking about Allison. I'm not sure that's the best reason I've ever heard for reinstating custody to somebody, but...
Because you're tired of talking to the person that you have to negotiate with?
Well, right. You're tired of that person being a central theme in your life. But, I mean, if you have custody of their child, I'm sure that that's just the way it would be.
That's what some of the reviews are saying. That's Louisa's tactic is she wants to just move on with Cole. And the best way to move on with him and be free of Allison and all his bullshit is to, like, let go of the struggle.
Sure, but shouldn't that have been talked about with Cole prior to this hearing, number one? And, I mean, you know, number two, is that really what's in the best interest of Joni?
She's not worried. I like Louisa, but I don't think she's... I think she's... Well, the story, at least, is portraying her as, like, having her own motivation, and that is to be with Cole. And that's her motivation, is to move forward and not be wrestling left and right with Allison and Joni and all this bullshit. She just wants to move forward.
But doesn't that feel desperate to you? That just feels kind of desperate to me, like a desperate move on her part.
Why is it desperate?
Because in place of putting Joni first, in place of, you know, doing what she should have done, and, you know, letting this process work itself out, in place of, like, 2 days later, you decide that this is a good thing for Joni, when 2 days before you felt like it wasn't, then she's just, like, furthering her own agenda just to, like, save her marriage and keep Allison out of it.
I think that's what this show does, though. It kind of mines personal agendas. And, you know, I think if every person had to be totally 100% honest with themselves, I'm not a parent. I'm not a step parent. I don't know anything about it other than my opinion from afar. But if it's not your kid, it's not as important, I think, as if it is your blood, flesh and blood. And I think Louisa's probably, I think that's what they're trying to portray here.
I'll be surprised if... some people wouldn't vehemently disagree with that. I don't have any context personally with it, but I would think that a lot of people would disagree with that.
Of course they will. That's the knee-jerk reaction. Like, no, every kid is the same, and my stepchild is my child. But Louisa, you're probably right in that Louisa is finding some sort of a desperation here. Like, what does she have without Cole? They're going to mine her personal shortcomings and her insecurities. And it's going to be like, I need you, Cole. I don't know. I think anyway.
I don't know. I didn't like that. I didn't like how quickly she did that. And it either was like just this rushed writing to move the story along, or they were kind of showing her being desperate. And either way, I didn't like her before when she was portrayed like a shrew, and I don't like her this episode where she's portrayed desperate, like she's desperate for this. I feel sorry for her.
Well, Allison goes over to Cole's house under construction and gives the friendliest word ever in human language. Hey. Hey.
Yeah.
Jamie and I were supposed to do a podcast, and I will leave that as a teaser, but that's my favorite word in the English language. Hey. Anyway, so Cole is kind of cold to her at this meeting and says that, you know, even in the receipt of coffee and muffins, he's kind of cold to her. What do you think she's after, Michelle? What do you think? It's more than just thanks. Why? What do you think Allison's goal is with Cole here?
Well, she saw he and Louisa arguing outside the window, and I think Allison has a hidden agenda with Cole, honestly. And so I think it was partly an excuse to go by there. And, you know, I guess since Cole didn't come in and say anything to her, she really did want to know how he felt about it and kind of see how this happened. She could tell in court he was not happy with Louisa up there saying that. So I think she just kind of wanted to get the, you know, the info on that. She learned right here, if she didn't know, that he was upset that she had gotten a divorce, not because she was divorced, but because she had told him that she hadn't seen Noah. And, you know, and of course he finds out that she had seen Noah.
Right. That's the problem with the not looking forward, because Cole is still bogged ass down and like, oh, you talked to Noah, huh? You didn't tell me you were talking to Noah. Like, why the hell should he should not even care about this. I mean, it makes him look so petty and frankly stupid that he's like all worried that Allison talked to Noah and didn't and lied to him about it.
Well, yeah, but she lied to him here. You know,
I know.
She said she just saw him for 5 minutes and they just showed him, you know, spending the night on Block Island. And.
But that's, I mean, what he's mad about.
Bad. That, yeah, it, well, right.
He says you aren't the model of consistency, but that's because she's fucking around with Noah. I can't trust you. I can't trust you because you still talk to Noah. It's like, it's bullshit.
It kind of is. Well, obviously, we know he is because it's a jealousy. But it's also that he can't trust her. She says things to him and he can't trust her. Even if he didn't have that feeling toward her that he does.
But that's what he's really worried about. That's what he's really motivated by. It's like she's still got connections with Noah.
Of course. Of course it is. But whether he did or not, her lying to him is bad. It's a bad thing. And she lies to him again. Right.
Well,
here.
There's a lot of lying. There's a lot of lying going on. Yeah, I can't trust you. And Allison just says, well, fuck you, Cole. So she goes home. She gets a call from Dr. Perry. And she gets invited to something that we don't know what it is yet. Did you have any guesses before you found out what it was, Michelle?
No. No, I didn't. I knew it was something up at Woodlawn, but I did not know. Well, yeah, I kind of did, I think, because she was saying how long and what's going on. So I assumed it was somebody with something going on, but I didn't. I at first thought it was, before she got up there, I thought it was somebody who was having some kind of visions of, you know, something going on with her child or something like that. I did not know that it was going to be a patient who had lost a child.
Well, that's essentially what it was. Somebody having visions about their child that they couldn't deal with.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be for the reason she went there. And she didn't go there because she lost Gabriel. She went there because she was having the visions with Joni, the, you know. So,
Whoa. How do you know she... I mean, that's all related to Gabriel, though.
It is. It is related. But I was just, you know, the reason she was at Woodmore was because she, like, had the panic attacks or whatever it was that was going on with Joni and the bad things she was seeing. And I didn't know if it wasn't somebody else who was having that same problem. I didn't realize it was going to be as intense a situation as that was.
Didn't Allison have some suicidal things, though, with her, like, going into the ocean and stuff that we saw before?
Yeah, we kind of talked about that a little bit before. It definitely gave at least you and I that impression. I don't know if it was like for real or if we just took it that way, but we definitely did. And she talks about it here.
So she goes back there and there's some woman on 8 weeks of suicide watch And the doctor wants Allison as some, I guess, what would you call her? Experienced suicider? Former patient in the same situation?
I think it was, yeah, just somebody who had lost a child to be able and had come out on the other side and feeling strong and however she's feeling now to have a conversation with this woman and let her know maybe that there is a, you know, another side eventually or something.
So this girl is some bleak, lost girl who also lost a child, and Allison tells her about Gabriel. And the girl in question here has lost a daughter, and her mother has put all the things in storage. And Allison says, well, get them back. Get them out of storage. You're not done dealing with it yet. Right. And she really relates to this girl.
Yeah.
And her mom wants her to be better, but Allison says pretty wisely, I think, well, you won't, her mom wants her to just get better, be better. And Allison says, you won't be better. You won't be better for a while.
Yeah, and she wants her to be herself. And Allison says that, you know, that girl's gone, which, you know, we've kind of seen that with her. We've seen her say that quite a few times and stuff like that. And I think that's pretty interesting.
I like that message. That message was also in, I keep referring back to Breaking Bad, but that was the message in Breaking Bad with Jesse, when Jesse went to the recovery place and the Jer Burns was the counselor. And he said, everybody raise your hand if you want to fix yourself. And everybody raised their hand. And he said, no, you should accept yourself. I don't know. I think that's a good message, that you should not try to fix yourself, but instead you should accept yourself.
Well, right. And kind of like not going back, you know, like you may not be the same person. Kind of like what you were saying earlier about Cole and Allison and all that. I don't think you are the same person. I think your experiences make you a different person. And to try to go back to being that other person, I think is, it denies growth and denies kind of the experience, maybe even sometimes.
Well, every new day you get up in the morning, you're a new person. That's what I'm saying about going forward. That's the path to happiness, I think.
But now something that I didn't like here is when the girl, I think her name was Kendra, she asked, what did Allison do? You know, how did she essentially cope, I think was the context in which she was asking. And Allison said she had an affair, and they kind of laugh about it. And she goes, it didn't end well, but you have to do something. Dying isn't the answer. And
I don't like believing that this whole story of Noah and Allison was because she had a child that died and that was her solution. It's like that defines Allison and Noah, their affair being some escape from Gabriel. I don't know. I just don't like that.
Well, I don't know. I think that she was in a vulnerable position and, you know, but I don't know that I know that. First of all, we didn't know her before this happened, so we don't know how she was. According to Oscar, she was, you know, kind of crazy beforehand. But I guess the story that we're fed is that she was in this vulnerable position, and that's what made her, you know, do this, what she considered reckless behavior and self-destructive behavior and all that with Noah.
The cure to Gabriel, or the escape, the option from suicide was like an affair with Noah.
Right.
Or anyone, really, but right. Noah showed up.
Well, I don't like that. And I also don't like that she says, I had an affair, you know, it didn't end well, I don't recommend it, but do what you have to do. I don't like that. You do what you have to do, but I don't think that you do what you have to do that takes other people down with you. The fact that she's turning this into, I don't know, like this, just a, what's the word, something that she did that had absolutely no meaning, I guess, you know, other than it just helped her. But look at all the people that it messed up. Look at all the problems Whitney has. Look at Helen. I mean, you know, and yeah, it's Noah's fault, but she had this hand in this, you know? And I just don't think she can get off scot-free just because she was going through trauma at the time as well.
Well, can you reconcile having a relationship with somebody just to cover up grief? I don't think that's an option. I don't think that's a viable response to grief. First of all, I don't think it would work, but it also like totally demeans anything that you might have felt towards Noah, which they made kind of appealing in the first couple seasons, that there was something powerful enough for her to leave her husband to go off with Noah. I don't know. It can't just be just dismissed by like, oh, that's what I did to deal with Gabriel. I don't like that.
But I think, and I don't know that I even believe it. I think, but it is kind of what she's saying.
It's exactly what she's saying.
But see, you're saying it that way, but I'm also saying it as in a, kind of like she gets a free pass on this poor decision that hurt a lot of people because of her own pain. I felt like it was, I don't know.
Well, so Allison says to this woman, it's up to you, it's your job to keep the memory of you and your daughter alive. Michelle, what do you think, so here's a pretty profound question, but what do you think happens when you die? What do you think happens to us when we die?
I'm Christian, so I think there's life after death.
So I don't think that at all, but I do believe that the memory of someone, I think someone still is alive if you remember them. Like, you're alive. If you die and I remember you, then you're alive. You're alive offline with me. I mean, I know a lot of people argue that down and say, oh, that's ridiculous. But I think that's the essence of life, is what you... Because what if you're... what if we hang up the Skype call and you go off on your merry way, I go off on my way, you're still alive somewhere. But if I think of you, right, you're not, you're still there somewhere because of the way I think of you to me. You know, that's like a clumsy way of saying it. But, and there was a really good Black Mirror of this one too. Remember that one where the guy died and he had all kinds of text messages and they kept him alive? But I really believe that if you are remembered by somebody, then you stay alive.
Yeah, I mean that's not my belief system, but I do believe in, like, you know, keeping people's memories alive for us while we're here, you know, when someone else is gone. And I think it's helpful to us to, you know, keep the memories alive, keep the person feeling close.
Yeah, that's a different thought, though. I'm saying, if you talk to somebody on the phone that you don't see every day, and you think about them oddly in some odd moment, they're alive to you. They're alive in your memory. And of course, they're alive somewhere else in real life, somewhere in another city or something. But that expression of their being is alive in your memory. That makes them alive. And I think when people pass away and die, first of all, I think when you die, you're gone. You don't go up to some cloud with some guy with a beard and a staff and he lets you into a pearly gate. But I think if people remember you, I think that's life. I think that memory of your life and your essence is still, you know, it's a positive thing that's alive in other people, and that makes you stay alive somehow. I'm not trying to convert your religion, but that's just how I see it.
Okay.
I mean, don't you think when you're not with somebody but you think about them that there's something there more than just, oh, that's just my thought of that person?
Well, yes, I do, but that person doesn't know that, and they don't feel that. you know, they're the person is real to you in that moment that you're thinking of them. But if the person's actually not with you and they're not experiencing this with you, then I don't really see how you could call them alive in that moment, because they're not there and they don't get the experience as well. So,
well, what happens when they die and cease to live?
Well, but, see, I can't have a conversation with you about that because you and I believe different things about
that. Just say what you think.
Well, I mean, I have. I believe that when the person's gone and they're not with us anymore, then we can keep them alive in our memory, but they have the other life, you know?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that part, but I don't know. I think if you are a memory in somebody's mind, then you're still alive somehow.
But you don't know when you're in my mind.
It doesn't matter.
Then how are you alive?
Because your memory of me keeps something that's a part of me alive. What if you talk about me to somebody and I don't even know, I don't even hear, I never know, you never relate the conversation back to me, but, oh, I do this podcast with this guy, he does this and that back in California. That's my life. That's me being here on Earth somehow being like expressed, and it's a little blurb of my life being like expressed. I think that's life. I think that's a part of my life.
I would probably understand that concept more if you could feel that in some way, if you had some kind of connection to that. Otherwise, it feels like it's, you know, if I'm talking about you here, it feels like that's my life and you're a part of my life. You know, you are not revolving, but, you know, you're part of me. And
but that's as much, I think that's as much as a part of life as me, just whatever I experience directly myself. I mean, well, how, it's interesting that you argue that you have this position, and not that we're arguing, but in this discussion, that you think like there's life after death and some sort of heaven, but you don't think there's life unless the other person knows about it.
No. Somehow that got convoluted in some way. I'm just saying that if I'm, of course I believe that there is an afterlife. I believe Christian belief, but all I was saying was, if I think of you, you don't have that. That's not anything that you experience. You know, so I don't see how you could call it life. That's all I'm saying. I've heard something similar to that before, but I just don't quite. And I'm not saying you're wrong as far as, you know, that being. I absolutely think you're wrong about there not being an afterlife. But I don't think, I'm not saying that you're wrong about calling that life. I just can't wrap my mind around that.
Anyway, so Allison, that's her message, kind of like, keep that memory alive, do what you need to do, and, you know, don't let your mom stuff all the kids' stuff up in a box in the attic or whatever. So Allison drives back. Now, Michelle, were you surprised that she didn't ride her bike the 100 miles to New Jersey for this morning?
It was kind of interesting to see her not on the bike, and I thought that the scenery and stuff, that was pretty neat how they showed that there and back, especially considering when she gets back, the conversation she has with Cole, because they did act like it was quite a bit of time going by.
Does she even have a driver's license?
Hopefully.
Didn't that come up to one other point, or did we make the, am I remembering something we made up, that she had to ride her bike because she didn't have a driver's license?
Yeah, I don't think that was true.
She stops at the Lobster Roll and meets Cole and tells him about what Woodlawn and what she did. And she sees a new career track, Michelle. She could be a grievance counselor or whatever, death avoidance counselor, suicide avoidance, whatever. And Cole's a dick. He's short and negative with her. You're going to abandon Joni again, huh? Take her away from me? You're chaos. That's why you're here. Why are you even doing this? Everything is always about you and not about anyone else.
But isn't that kind of forced as well, like this? I mean, she literally did. I mean, she moved back there and she has, like, you know, painted the room and made the dollhouse and done everything, just like completely did this stuff for Joni. And then less than 24 hours later, she takes a job 4 hours away. And she doesn't even think about Joni. You know,
she didn't take a job. She's thinking about it.
Well, in Cole's version, she said she took the job. In her version, she said she was thinking about it. Yeah. But I agree with Cole as far as not necessarily that she shouldn't have the job, but when he asks her, what do you plan to do about Joni and about, you know, this, you just got this, you fought for it, and she hasn't even thought about it. It hasn't even entered her mind. She's like, oh, we'll work it out. I mean, she hasn't even thought about it. And that frustrates me. It's like, okay, so you do all this stuff. And then as soon, you know, okay, this is how I'm seeing Allison at this point, right? She wanted Noah, right? And she wants him at, you know, no matter who she hurts, no matter what happens, she gets him. When she gets him, she doesn't want him. And then, you know, she wanted Joni and she, or a baby, and she gets pregnant. Then she leaves the baby with Noah while she's, you know, and I know people work and they do that kind of stuff, but she leaves the baby with Noah while she goes and works at the lobster roll. Then she gets Joni and she leaves her, you know, and now, you know, here she wants her back. She gets her back just yesterday. And now she's taking this job. And now she wants Cole back. I mean, it just seems like everything she gets then just becomes like an afterthought to her. Or she screws it up somehow.
Well, I used to be critical about how the point of views of each party in this show were like overly exaggerated. This is clearly like what Allison's motives are, and Allison's like doing this for everything she wants, and but I like it now. I like that they over exaggerate it and make it totally like blatantly clear, even though it's like a little bit unrealistic, that this is Allison's version, that this is how Cole's viewing me, and he's not fair to me because I don't want just negative things. I want like a balance of things, but it's her blatantly selfish view of what he's seeing she wants. And I kind of like that now.
Okay, that's a good way to put it, because watching her side of it, I start feeling like, you know, and this is her take on it, and even she's so ridiculous about this, but yeah,
because that's how we roll through life, right? Like, oh my god, that guy is so pissed at me. I'm so mad at him. And then like, you go to that guy's version of it, and it's like, I never even gave that a freaking second thought, dude. What are you even worried about? It's like we over exaggerate the meaning of things to ourselves so badly, so not badly, but so overly intensely, that it's kind of genius how the show portrays it this way.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, I just think it's, I get frustrated with her specifically in this. I mean, I think we see it with Cole some too. I don't know so much about Noah, or maybe even Helen, but certainly with Cole and Allison, I feel like we do.
So Allison goes to a bar called Bar, B-A-R.
Okay.
And the bartender calls her Bailey.
Yep.
Like everybody knows her as Bailey in Montauk. And Helen shows up. Michelle Helen surprises her there, and they set them both up with Long Island iced teas.
Yeah, that was really odd. And I'm telling you, it was like a moment of comic relief kind of in this. And it wasn't really. It was almost like comic relief's probably not even the right word, because it was weird. It was just like sarcastic and some ugly things. And it's also funny how Allison sees Helen and sees herself in this situation.
First of all, can you believe that Helen was shown up in some bar in Montauk? And secondly, Michelle, have you ever tried a Long Island iced tea?
I have had a Long Island iced tea. Yeah, I did not know what Helen was doing there. But yeah, have you had a Long Island iced tea?
Sorry, I had to run off and get one right there. No, I'm not a fan of, I don't even know what's in a Long Island iced tea.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember what it is, but.
But Helen, now, so Helen doesn't know that she lived in Montauk? She sounded surprised. She sounded surprised to meet her there.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even think about that. But and I mean, yeah. I mean, of course,
there was a lot of cattiness here because she says, "You know, your daughter turned out to not be Noah's." I loved hearing that. What's up with that? That's very catty.
Yeah, I don't know if Helen said that or if that's just what Allison heard.
Well,
you know? No, I don't know. I don't know. That was pretty ugly. We also have Allison saying, "Helen, I'm just so sorry. I'm so sorry." And going on and on. And I don't know.
What's the girl math? What's the girl rival math on that, Michelle, on whether a dude is the father of or not of a baby? What special math is attached to that? Like, he's your baby daddy. Like, is there not just you screwed him and nothing happened, or you screwed him and now you're the baby, he's the baby daddy. What's the daddy element in there?
You mean what
between
percentage
women.
Does that up the game or something?
Yeah.
I would guess a lot. I would guess a huge amount because now you're connected to this person.
I'm a guy and you're a girl and you're the only girl on this podcast. So I got to get it from you. So what does it mean?
Okay. I don't know if I understand what you're asking me. I'm sorry.
Like, how much more important is it that they had a baby? Okay. I'm in a relationship with you now, and you used to screw Johnny.
Okay.
Versus, I'm in a relationship with you now, and you used to screw Johnny, and you had a baby with Johnny.
Yeah, but that's not a good analogy. A better analogy would be, you're in a relationship with me now, and I'm sneaking off and screwing Johnny, and then, you know, I get pregnant, and I tell you the baby's yours. I mean, you know, you would assume the baby's yours and the baby ends up being Johnny's and you didn't know anything about it.
Right. But Helen says your daughter turned out not to be Noah's. I loved hearing that. Even though I know you screwed him, she lessens the value of it because the baby wasn't from Noah.
Well, because it kind of made her, maybe it was vindicating to her that here, you know, Allison maybe in her mind, and she says something completely different here, but lured Noah away, but she couldn't even be faithful to him. So it's just like a ha-ha,
so
you know,
just
kind
a
of.
Slut. You'll sleep with anybody.
Well, right. You certainly can't. Or at least a you can't be faithful kind of person. And so it was really great that was confirmed.
I don't know. I think it's more interesting than that. you're like schmoozing it over. I think it's more vicious for Helen to say that.
Well, I think it's horrible for Helen to say that, talking about their child. But I don't believe Helen would have said that. So, you know, I think this is just Allison's perception of this. I'm hoping next week we hear Helen's side of it, because I believe that Allison actually told her what happened, and Helen, we're going to get to hear it from Helen, because I think on the upcoming stuff we hear Helen talking to Allison. I'm not sure.
I want to hear Fur Cat part one.
No Fur Cat. No Fur Cat.
All right. Well, I don't know. You didn't satisfy my question very well. But
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. So explain it. Why is it so important to Helen that I loved it. Like, she says this to the woman. She says this to her. She doesn't just think it. Like, should be like satisfying for her to just think
okay.
It.
Okay. If my husband had an affair and left me for this woman because he thought he was going to have some kind of perfect life with her, right? And left me and my kids sitting, and I was like heartbroken and still in love with him and everything. And then she gets pregnant and it's not even his baby. It's just kind of like a, you know, kind of like.
Oh, you're just a floozy. You sleep with anybody. That makes me feel better.
Well, that and ha ha, your life isn't, you know, you didn't win by leaving me. Look what you ended up with, somebody who would lie to you about you being the father of their child for 18 months and all that. It's just kind of like it's a huge deal. That would be a huge deal. Helen was left behind and then there was trouble in Noah's paradise, so to speak, that, you know, she didn't find out until they found out about the baby. And that was, you know, just a absolute confirmation that they did not have the relationship that Noah probably left her for.
Well, that's very spiteful, Michelle. I think you should maybe consider counseling.
Okay.
Anyway, so this next scene, I think, is the best scene of the whole series.
Of the series? Yeah,
the whole shot, the whole thing. This conversation between Allison and Helen. Because they reveal shit to each other. So Allison says, have you seen him? Helen says, hell yeah, he's staying at my place.
Yep.
And they talk about the stabber.
Yeah, but then Helen also kind of, you know, backs up a little bit. She says, because my boyfriend's a doctor and he was seeing him. And that's not even true.
Well, not quite yet. So Helen says, when's the last time you saw him?
Right.
And Allison says a couple days ago, and Helen chokes on her Long Island iced tea.
Yep.
What? And Allison says, yeah, we finalized our divorce papers. And Michelle is now, okay, so let's deconstruct this a little bit. Is this the way two women divorced from the same dude would act in real life? Like, what are their individual motivations in this setting?
I'm actually not sure. I could understand Allison inviting her to sit down because she wants to know, you know, is Noah okay or whatever. I can't really understand why Helen was there.
Yeah, that's a bit of a scene glitch, story glitch, I think.
Unless we find out. We may find out. Like I said, I want to get Helen's take on that conversation.
Well, Allison seems charming and smart and kind of driven and mature in this version, and Helen seems insecure, and she's still intelligent, but she's kind of a procrastinator, intelligent, like insecure person.
Well, right, because it's Allison's take on it, right? Right. So she does see herself that way. Well-spoken and, yeah, everything.
So Allison says, sounds like he was a completely different person with you. And Helen says, where they got the title from, this, you know, New York Times or whoever said this, that people see what they want to see in other people. And Helen then says, I used to think he was never really yours. I was loaning him to you. And Allison apologizes and says, I'm sorry for what I did.
Yeah, she profusely apologizes. Yeah.
So this is the nuts and bolts of this thing. So Helen says, men need to feel important to stay in a relationship. I failed at that, so don't blame yourself. So she kind of forgives Allison.
Right, right.
And then Allison says, I want to tell you something about the night Scotty died. And doesn't get to really finish that thought. And Helen says, no, just let it go. What this? So why didn't Helen want to hear the night about Scotty die?
See, I don't buy that. I don't trust Allison. And I don't buy that version of it. That doesn't make any sense to me. And we see upcoming next week, I think, where it's it looked like it was going to be hell. I don't know, but I don't buy that.
Hmm. What do you benefit? Think? Well, what benefit would? Okay, first of all, the truth, regardless of what they say to each other, and whose perspective it is, Allison doesn't know Helen was there, and Helen doesn't know Allison was there. So why would Allison want to tell Helen something about the night?
Because
Scotty...
Allison does know Helen was there.
She doesn't.
She does know, Mike. She knows. She knows. Remember, I went back and watched the last episode. Okay. I promise you.
But she doesn't know the circumstance. She doesn't know the truth about the driving switcheroo between Noah and Helen. I don't think she knows the whole story.
Please go back and watch season 2, the last episode. I think it's episode 12.
I know. We've talked about
Allison
it.
Knows. She doesn't knows know that Helen was driving. Though. Yes, she does. She hears her screaming. She sees her screaming from the driver's side. She sees Noah get out on the passenger side. The passenger doors open. The car was turned, catty-cornered, off facing her. The interior light was on. She knows Helen hit him. And that's why she wants to tell her. She said, I want it because, you know, she asked her, she said, how are you? And Helen said, I've been better. And she said, I want to tell you something about the night Scotty died that I think will make you feel better or will make things better or something to that effect. And that's when Helen's just like, no. And that didn't make any sense to me, because if somebody was going to tell you about something that intense, I think you'd at least want to hear it, even if you didn't say anything back.
Why didn't Helen want to hear it?
I think she did. I don't believe Allison's side of that.
All right. I don't know if I have the energy to go back and watch that. I got to drop my salmon. I have a tapeworm. So Helen just says, no, just let it go. What does it matter? We can't go back. You think Allison's just remembering it that way? No, just let it go. It doesn't matter. We can't go back.
You mean Helen?
Yeah, that's what Helen says in Allison's view. And her.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Helen is like living with this terrible guilt. And anytime anybody mentions anything about that night, it automatically causes her to be skittish and just want to run away from it. So I could kind of see it in that context.
Why wouldn't you listen, though? Like, nobody's going to know. It doesn't reveal anything to you, or doesn't expose anything about you to other people. Right. It's just like, oh, really? What happened? Like, I don't want to listen to it.
I don't know how you couldn't listen to it, particularly with all of that guilt and everything that she had. But the way Helen just, you know, skidded out of the room, we'll see. We'll see if we hear a different tale if Helen tells it to us next time. I thought one of the most interesting things about that was when Helen asked Allison how she saw Noah. And I thought that was really good. And I know that you touched on that, but the way Allison saw him was very mature. He took charge of things. He was so driven, charming. Just, you know, she had never met anybody with that kind of ambition before. And Helen is like smirking.
What would Allison have told Helen had she let her go? What did she want to reveal about Scotty?
She was going to tell her that she pushed him out in front of the car, that she was there.
Why? So why? What? Is it just coming clean of Allison to Helen? Like, they've found a common bond that they can reveal this to? Like, I want to reveal this to you, Helen, so you don't feel guilty about driving over Scotty, that I pushed him in front of you?
I don't really know why. Do you have any idea why she would want to?
No, because I don't think she knows that Helen was driving. I still don't know.
Oh, my gosh. She does absolutely know that Helen was driving. And that's what she... What else was she going to tell her?
I don't know. That's why. And it's weird that Helen didn't want to hear it.
It is weird that Helen
ruined
didn't
it for us. Just let her tell you, Helen. God damn it. We want to hear what Allison has to say. Anyway, so Allison back at her house is there, and Chris the cop comes over. Chris the cop seems to know Allison from old days because he's very friendly with her.
Right.
And tells her, like, tips her off almost. Like, the cops are questioning Cole about Noah's stabbing. His alibi didn't hold up. He paid tolls on a New Jersey turnpike.
Right.
Somewhere near where Noah was.
Right.
So that was how part one closed out. So do you think, and we go into part two here, Michelle, but do you think Cole had anything to do with Noah's stabbing?
I really don't. I mean, it feels ridiculous for us to even have to speculate, right, on what happened, considering we saw it happen and there was like nobody there, right? I'm beginning to think that your theory is the right one, that Noah did something to himself. I think Noah is completely unstable. And, no, I don't think Cole did that. I think Cole could have walked in like that. Yeah. I mean, could he have, first of all, Noah had only moved into that place that day, right? So, I mean, Cole would have had to have been like majorly stalking him or whatever to, you know, to know where he even was. Nobody even knew where he was. And, no.
Well, Cole could kick Noah's ass, too. Cole wouldn't stab him with a little knife and run away. He would beat the shit out of him. He wouldn't stab him. He'd fight him. He'd punch him.
Well, Noah wouldn't stand there and let Cole walk up behind him. I mean, you would feel a man's presence, right, coming up behind you. You wouldn't just stand there.
Well, Cole wouldn't attack Noah like that. He would say, hey, dude, turn around. You're about to get your ass whooped. He wouldn't sneak up and be a weasel about it.
Right, I agree.
All right, part two, Cole. Louisa tells Cole what happened in the court between her and the court people and all about the judge's decision and shared custody. And she's explaining but almost making excuses for her stance versus like proudly proclaiming, I think she should have custody. So she's like defending what happened versus proclaiming what she wants, I think.
Yeah, and it's very unappealing. Just give her what she wants so we can stop thinking about her. I'm tired of talking about Allison. I mean, that is, like, awful.
Makes the most sense, though.
Well, if you're thinking about something maybe just, like, logically to get your way, it does. But it does not make the most sense to do what's right or, you know. And certainly talk to Cole about it before you get in court and do it.
Well, I said at the beginning of this, they made Cole look like the evil perpetrator here. And this continues with this version because Louisa and Cole later talk about the day in court. And she's just catering to Cole. She's suggesting adoption and Cole dodges it by just being too exhausted. Like, I'm too tired for you. I'm too tired for this bullshit. Like, he's like dismissive of Louisa.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cold to her the whole time. Cold.
So, I don't know. Cole and Louisa, Noah and Helen, or Cole and Louisa, Noah and Helen and Vic they're notches down in intensity. The real story, Michelle, is Noah and Allison and Cole and Allison. And maybe Noah and Helen if you throw them in there too. But it's not Cole and Louisa and Vic and Helen. Those are just distractions from the real coupling here.
Well, that's why I was saying it's, you know, it takes me a minute when they change gears from person to person, particularly since they rarely do cross paths anymore. This Helen, Allison, even you said it was some of the best stuff of the whole series. And I think it's because we're seeing these characters together. You know, and we're getting like you know, fed this storyline rather than all the outside flutter that kind of, you know, is a part of it, but it's distracting at the same time.
Yeah, like the first person mainlining of the truth into our veins, like Allison and Helen talking directly. Like, what did he mean to you? I don't know. What did he mean to you? Well, I'm really glad he wasn't. You're the real baby daddy. He was like screwing around with you. I don't know. I like the truth of that.
I do too. Yeah.
All right. So Oscar shows up next at Cole's place. Oscar's on the city council, the town council. Well,
first though, Cole is at his job site and he's got that thing the stop work.
Right. Order. He's supposed to not be building his house for some reason.
Right. His survey was out of date or whatever, we find out. But this is where Allison pulls up. And she was so much prettier in this version than she was in her version. And she brought donuts in place of muffins and coffee.
That's after Oscar, though, right?
Mm-mm. No, Oscar, no. Definitely not. No, that's
why Oscar... notes later on.
No, that's why Oscar comes to the job site, was because Cole had already went and talked to Timothy, and then Oscar has to come and enforce as a town council member. That's why he showed up. So this definitely happened first. He had just gotten that stop work notice.
So she brought the donuts in part one to Cole.
She brought a muffin and coffee in part one. In part two, she pulls up and she has brought him donuts. And she's being all charming and everything. You know, oh, you are hungry. You've got that line in between your eyes. That means you're hungry.
So and donuts are a higher... Comment. It's funny that donuts are higher ranking quality of gift than blueberry muffin.
I don't know. He was really like eating that muffin like... like it was, you know, he's starving to death or something, and he just ignored the donuts.
So. What's really funny is I didn't even put a note about her showing up with donuts versus a muffin in my notes. Just Oscar showing up.
Yeah,
Oscar showing up to warn him about the town council being against him.
Well, he was actually sent there by the town council because he had already, you know, went back and tried to schmooze, I guess, or talk to, or whatever you would call that, this guy Timothy, because his guy was now retired that he knew in I don't know. Wouldn't he know that? He would know that.
I'm glad you interjected your comments about Allison, because in my notes here about Allison meeting Cole in part two, I have her showing up at Cole's looking like a bedraggled hobo. Not
no, you
looking
don't.
Better.
Yeah. No, you don't. No, in hers, in part one, she's like got on this big overcoat and her hair's kind of, you know, everywhere and just looks like she doesn't have any makeup or anything. And in Cole's version, her hair's all pulled back and her eyes are real like doe-like. They're real, you know, wide, and she's dressed much cuter and, you know, gets out and, like I said, she's kind of teasing with him and everything. Oh, you're hungry. I can tell you get this line between your eyes when you're hungry. Come on, eat or whatever. And much more charming, much sweeter.
Bedraggled hobo. That's what I put.
That's
anyway. So funny. Oscar shows up, tipping him off. The town council's against him. He seems to be on Cole's side in this. After all they've been through, he's done like warning him. And Oscar gets a call during this meeting.
I'm sorry, Mike. You're skipping so much, you know, because he goes into the building inspector's office and he meets that guy, Timothy. Remember? And the survey was out of date. And if he shuts him down, he says he's screwed because he wants to get the roof on before winter and all that. And he says he knows that he's new in town, but it's a small town and we take care of each other here. And all that kind of stuff.
Well, maybe my TV had a glitch or I had an aneurysm or something. But I'd have him showing up warning Cole about the town council being against him.
Well, he eventually does in just a minute. But that happened first. And then Cole goes in the house. And this is where Louise is covered in the water because she's had to, you know, given Joni a bath. And this is where Louise says she wants to start the family with Cole. And adopt or find a surrogate or whatever. And he says, he just seems all weird and everything and says, let's talk about it tomorrow. And
so
then.
So I have that different in a different order than you. So let me do mine and then you can correct me. So Oscar shows up, warns him.
Okay.
Oscar gets a call from his baby mama while he's there. Yep. He calls her a solid B+ living cunt. that she's like dissing the woman that he's with. That's mama of his kid. It's like, yeah. Totally slams this woman. And I don't know, in my notes I put, this is why I never got married. I never wanted the notch down settling type feeling. That's what Oscar has here. Like, he's settled with this woman. Like, he's settled for somebody who he feels is less than he should have, than he deserves.
No, he didn't. I don't think he felt that way at all.
Well, he even said,
he did call her an ugly, ugly word, but he says that, that everything's going to be okay because Jenny's a solid B plus and he's a C. If she needs to call me and yell at me and hang up, that's a small price to pay for my beautiful family.
Yeah, but Michelle, solid B plus is not a compliment, not a compliment to a woman between two dudes when the woman's not there to hear it. He's settled for Jenny. And he's admitting it to Cole. And he's saying, oh, she's kind of a cunt. He's mean.
I think you're wrong. You're either wrong or guys have their own language that I'm not privy to. Because if you call yourself a C and you call your wife a B plus, then obviously, you know, you don't think like you've settled.
You call your you feel woman like you've made an A, out. No matter what she is, no matter what you do.
Okay.
And Oscar clearly is a C. He's not really revealing anything. He's not special by any means. And he calls her a cunt. You don't call, first of all, you call her the highest compliment you can admit to her, you know, admit about her. You don't call her like a cunt. And you don't call her like a, and then you don't like mitigate it by saying, oh, you know, she's really kind of a B plus. That's like a left-handed compliment.
Maybe, but that's not what I took from it at all. I took from it that look, things are hard. We used to have sex all the time and now we got this baby and we're not having sex anymore. And I really thought it was going to be like this and it's like this, but that's part of loving somebody.
Oh, Jesus.
And that's what he said.
You're too forgiving, Michelle. I think he reveals it in this next set of things he says to Cole. Because Cole says, well, you ever wonder what it'd be like with a different life, different girl? And Oscar says, dude, you've got the perfect life. What are you doing? Why are you screwing up Luisa to like for anything? You've got the he's viewing like Cole having the perfect life and him not having the perfect life. It's funny because we heard this from Gunther, too. You fucked up the perfect life, Noah. Why would you ever do that? You had the perfect woman and the perfect family, and you fucked it up. And now Oscar's saying the same thing to Cole.
Well, right, but I don't think it has anything to do with his own relationship. I didn't get that. Very happy with Jenny.
No, that's the point. They're both kind of hinting and talking about Allison and kind of in disguise here. It's like you had the perfect life. You had the perfect life with Allison. Now you have the perfect life with Luisa, and you fucked them both up. So what are you doing? I don't know.
But he even brings up, he says, wouldn't you rather have Luisa there to catch you when you fall than Allison, who will let you fall 9 out of 10 times?
Maybe, but I think Oscar views Cole as like a notch up, like a in the guy stratosphere or whatever. In the guy... stratosphere isn't the right word. What's the right word? What's the geological term for layered rock layers?
I don't know.
Well, in the guy level of society that's higher than him, and you're lucky. You've been higher than me twice, and you're living the dream, dude. Why are you gonna fuck it up? I'm stuck with Jenny. I think he's saying to Cole, I'm kind of stuck with my situation. And you're lucky and I'm not.
You see, I felt like Cole, he goes back home and he's like, look, you know, I mean, after a couple different scenes here, and he's like, I want to have a baby with you, Luisa. I felt like that he... Okay, first of all, I don't really buy that Cole is telling Oscar that he is having sex with Allison. How good of a friend have to be? Yeah, he does.
Well,
he does tell him.
Like, okay, whether he's doing it now or not, Oscar knows that he had Allison because he was married to Allison.
Yeah, but that's not what they're talking about. He says, are you having sex with your ex-wife? And there was no answer. Well, he says, "Are you?" And he said, "No." And he said, "Have you?" And he didn't answer. And that's when he's like, "Dude, what are you doing? You got a perfect life. What are you, you know, what's going on?" And this is where Cole says, "I don't know." And then Oscar says, "Remember Allison, the one who like 5 years ago destroyed you and, you know, said it in some graphic way or whatever?" I think Oscar made Cole begin to realize what he actually has with Louisa. But, I mean, for all the good that does.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that, that he makes him realize what you have with Louisa. But Oscar's doing it by method of comparison. You've got it made, dude. You've got a hot wife with Louisa. I'm stuck with what I have, a B wife. B-list, man. Look at the turn. Look at the semantics. It's like, B, you know, I've got a B-list wife. B-plus, maybe, but that's great. But she's a cunt. He's like dissing his wife, Michelle. He's not happy with what he has. He should be, probably, but he's not.
Well, you may know more than me about that. I only know what I see,
but I listen to what I see or what I hear, and that's what he's calling her. You know, I listened to it too,
but I definitely had a different take on it. I felt like he was saying, "Look, she drives me crazy. My life is misery, and I wouldn't change it for anything." He even said, "You know, he's like, I meant that in the most affectionate way possible." Of course, you shouldn't say that kind of stuff. And it was horrible. Though.
Yeah, what would you think if somebody called you a B plus? If Mike called you a B plus wife?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be flattered by it.
No, because it's not flattering. Whether you're like a total trailer trash dump hound, you should be an A plus wife to your husband.
Okay.
Well, like I said,
you might be right. Okay, you might be right. I don't know. I don't know this male speak. I kind of took it for what he was saying.
No, Oscar's jealous of Cole. You had Allison. Now you have Louisa. You got the A plus 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 life. I'm stuck with B plus. I don't know. So here's where I put in my notes. Allison shows up at Cole's looking like the bedraggled hobo. I don't think she looks very hot in this next scene here. She's already taken the and according to everybody in this scene, she's taken the New Jersey counseling job. And then Cole rushes in on Louisa and talks about having a kid with her and her sister as surrogate mother. So I don't know what I did with the sequence here, but that's my notes.
Well, yeah, here I've got, this is where Cole's at the lobster roll and Allison walks in telling him about counseling the grieving mother, and he freaked out and they're having this conversation about her working in New Jersey. And this is where she says that she did take the job. And, he says he just wants her to be responsible. And this is where she says it's a good thing that she's the one who messes up all the time, because that way, as long as she's crazy, he gets to be the sane one. And I didn't really get that so much, but.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's important.
And then Cole comes into Louisa and says that.
That's desperation with Louisa. Cole is like a dick in this episode. He shouldn't be stringing Louisa on when he doesn't really mean this. And he doesn't mean this. Let's have a kid. Well, that's like more danger, more complications and involving it. He's doing what Noah did.
Well, not as much, but yeah, like he was having all of these questions about Louisa, like last night when she said, "Let's have a baby." And then today he has this conversation with Oscar, who's going, "Man, you got it made." And then he has this encounter with Allison at the lobster roll where she's telling him all this kind of stuff. And he's like, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not involved in that crazy anymore." And he goes home and he's just like over the top. "Let's do it. Let's have a baby."
That's arguably worse than what Noah did with Allison. Noah had an affair with Allison, didn't try to have a child with her. He didn't try to have a child with her. But now Cole's saying, "Let's have a child, Louisa," even though he's not committed to her. He's not committed to her in his heart.
Well, obviously, I don't feel like that was the right thing for him to do. And I mean, she even stops him. And she's like, "Let's take a breath and sleep on this when you're not so excitable or whatever." So she even feels it, even though it's what she wants.
So the cops show up, accuse him of murder. They have pictures of him at the toll booth, and they take him away. And now Allison meets him at the jail. What the hell is up with that?
Well, yeah, because I guess in her story, in Cole's story, when Clay, the officer, came to the door, he told Allison that Cole had been arrested. See, that's not what we got from her. But if she actually showed up at the jail, then that would have been what would have happened.
Yeah, it looks like he's clearly arrested.
Right.
So, and then Allison and Cole talk, and she asks him, where were you that night? He says, I was at Woodlawn to go see your doctor about you. And seeing you and Joni together brought thoughts back about me and us, about me and you and probably Gabriel, I guess.
Well, her and Joni and him, their family.
And so Allison says, well, what about us? What is this big secret that you have? And Cole says, if I admit where I was, would I have to admit the truth to everyone? Or I would have to admit the truth to everyone. And that is that I do want you. So Allison says, stop pretending. Allison Michelle is the master, or the mistress, I guess, of make a decision. Call your shot. Take your shot. She did that with Noah in court, and she's doing that now with Cole.
Well, yeah, she wants him to want her, I guess, so then she can walk away again and destroy him again.
Well, she wants that publicly declared. Like, make a decision, put your foot down, and let the world know that you do what you want. If you want me, do it. Stop pretending.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he says he's tired of pretending, and she says, well, stop pretending. And I thought this was, you know, just incredible. And she says, why? And he says, because I'm not Noah Soloway. I'm a good man. I thought that was
this kind deep. I don't know, it's kind of dumb if anybody ever believes that Cole really stabbed Noah, but you could, I guess you could quasi-plausibly say, well, this is the motive for stabbing, even if it's not really there. I don't know, that would be a reason, but you got to be an idiot if you think Cole stabbed Noah.
Yeah, that absolutely cannot be. They can't put that in the story.
So what does Allison really want? I mean, what and why? She can't want reuniting with Cole.
No, but she acts like she does. I mean, but she had sex with him a few days ago. After she had sex with him, had sex with Noah, but then got Noah to sign divorce papers. And she wants what she doesn't have. And then when she gets it, she doesn't want it anymore. I think.
Why are we even doing this podcast? It's like such a stupid soap opera.
I think it's pretty true to life for a lot of people.
The interesting will you be with me concept is pretty freaking interesting. I know guys struggle with it all the time.
What do you mean?
Well, I know I'm a guy, so I know it's one-sided, but maybe girls struggle too. But guys let this mystify us, you know, like, why won't you be with me? And Allison's kind of doing that with Cole. Why can't you be with me? Why can't you just decide to be with me? You clearly want to be with me, and you've got the average wife that you're kind of happy with, but it gets to this later on where she says, don't be miserable. We'll get to it. I'll know the words later, but then why not be happy and a slob, or be happy and a loser, or whatever?
Yeah, but she's that's so self-righteous, right?
But that's what guys think too. That is why can't you be with me?
Well, because you're saying essentially that I'm going to make you happy. I'm going to make you happier than this other person. And you don't know that. You know, it's very self-righteous to think that way, for her to think, you know, why you can be miserable hero or a happy asshole or something to that effect.
But she's tapped into it. He is a miserable hero. He is miserable with Louisa. She's right.
You're right.
It's not just
a
pipe dream. A lot of times for guys and people, other people than guys, you know, girls too, it's a pipe dream. Like, why can't you just be with me? Because I want you to be with me. But I think Cole really does want to be with Allison.
Yeah, I do too.
So why won't you, you know, why not? I mean, she's kind of right. Why won't you be with me?
Because he's not going to be like Noah. He's right. He would be an idiot to believe she's not going to hurt him again. How many times does somebody have to hurt you before? You know, we have to go back and think about what she did to Cole and how she left him and the situation she left him in and his family losing the ranch that they had all this time and him driving the taxi and living outside in that little RV outside their home because he couldn't even bear the thought of living in that home. And his, it was a drug or alcohol, I think it was a drug problem he had for a while. And I mean, he and him going to that little house on the lake where she was staying to take her stuff because he was just crazy in love with her. And, you know, 5 years have passed so since the affair, so there's been some time, but she's still lying to him. She lied to him today. She told him that she was only saw Noah for 5 minutes. And we know that it was a lot longer than 5 minutes and a lot of stuff happened. He's right. He would be crazy. It may be what his heart wants, but he would be crazy to invite that back in his life again. So I think he sees that too.
Oh, wow. She's a smoke show though.
What does that mean?
She's hot.
Oh, okay.
That would, I mean, he's like, he's in love with her.
I understand. I get it. I mean, you know, Helen is in love with Noah, but you know, that hot only lasts for so long. You know, when you have to live with the crazy, that can diminish the hot.
All right, so Cole goes home to Louisa, and Cole says, I told him the truth. I went to see Allison's doctor to discuss her mental state regarding regarding the cops, I guess.
Right.
I told him the truth. I went to see Allison's doctor to talk about her mental state in the custody case. And Louisa says, why lie to the police for so long about something so simple, and you're still lying? So yep. Louisa, I'm telling you, man, she's hot again. She's smart and hot and pretty again to me.
Okay.
She's not the revengeful dope that she was a couple episodes ago.
No, she's not. And I agree right there. And I'm really glad that she told him that. Also, the funniest part of that scene to me was Cole went to jail, right? He's locked behind bars and Louisa's home asleep. She's not even just at home because she's got Joni there or something and she can't get somebody to come over or something like that. She's asleep when he comes in. And it's like, okay, Cole, whatever. You know, I need to get my, you know, 7 hours of beauty sleep here. I thought that was so funny.
Louisa Leon, I would have her back on the podcast, Michelle. She would have us back.
There you go.
But Cole says, well, I can't talk right now. Good night. And just goes to sleep. Like that's ever a way out of something.
Yeah, I'm not sure what they wanted us to feel with that. That was kind of interesting, just because I wasn't sure.
They want you to feel like Cole's a dick. Cole's like a dismissive, selfish, lying person.
Yeah, but he just kind of lays there, you know, staring, and then time passes and he gets up. I don't know.
He goes back to Allison, and Allison says, well, we keep coming back to each other. Doesn't that mean something? And Cole is lying more and more. He says, we're finished. We were unfinished. And Allison says, and now we are? You're scared. You've given up because it's a mess and it's complicated. If you leave Louisa now, you're an asshole like me, and it's maybe better to be an asshole, a happy asshole than a miserable hero, like you said. And if you ever need me, call 555-2316.
Yeah. I mean, so Allison was not content, right, to get Noah away from his wife and kids, right? But now she wants to get Cole away from his wife. I'm just really, I understand that, you know, she was there first and she loved him. But I mean, you want to talk about moving on. The way she did him, that's some like lines in the sand, you know, and now she wants him back. And she's not only saying, I want you back, but she's saying, I want you back. And if you, I realize you're not willing to go there right now, but if you ever are, you know, the door's open, the light's on, you know where to find me. And I just think that's just, it's disgusting.
Do you think Cole's perspective is accurate, or is it just like a blind portrayal of what he, just simply what he wants? Because he views, because then he views Allison like the beautiful, mysterious Allison with her hair is blowing in the sea breeze, and then she flits off into the night and right, like a ghost away from him on the pier, like by the sea where they both grew up and all that bullshit on Montauk. She's like a vision to him.
Yeah, I felt like he was pretty resolute, at least for the moment, that that's not what he wanted. But I mean, who knows?
She's what he dreams of, though. She is his dream girl.
Well, I mean, you know, she even told him when he was in the cell. She's like, I'm impulsive, and I, you know, I know I'm not easy to love, and I get depressed and all that kind of stuff. She kind of named off a bunch of her flaws, or, you know, self-perceived flaws or whatever. I don't know.
That makes women more attractive to guys. That's not discouraging him.
No, I don't think so either. But it's just kind of odd, right? Because they opened the lobster roll together, and then she was at his wedding to Louisa. So he went through all that with Louisa and had her in business with him. And she, you know, Louisa came to her little apartment, Oscar's old apartment, to change into her wedding gown while Allison was there. And Cole wasn't having these feelings.
I mean, and then, that means nothing.
Tell me why.
It just doesn't. Just like, guys don't care about that.
Come and go. No, well, but he wasn't having these feelings. They were sitting on the beach and they were talking about it. And he was talking to Allison about how much he loved Louisa and everything. So
I could talk to a girl I still had feelings for about another girl that I loved, with the sideways intention of her like thinking, wow, what a nice guy, he really loves that girl, what a mistake by me to let him go.
Well, okay, but they didn't show that to us, as far as a lot of time,
but that's how
passed.
guys, you know, let's, well, how sensitive, how honest this guy is, what a great guy.
Don't tell me this stuff. I just
I'm telling
be,
you, it's the truth, man.
No, I want to be ignorant. Okay, I just want to believe what I believe. Yeah, really.
So Cole thinks later on at home. How did? By the way, Michelle, how did Cole get out of jail so quickly? He was in jail for murder, for freaking what? Attempted murder.
No, I think they took him to jail because he wouldn't answer the question about where he was that night and what he was doing.
Well, how did he get out of jail so quickly? It takes me four or five days.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he just told them, and they're like, oh, okay. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. That seems awfully quick, but I don't know.
And he always has, like, he's cooking breakfast. Like, that's the absolution. I'll cook breakfast, so I'm free of all guilt of anything previous.
Yep. What was eggs?
And Louisa shows up. And Cole lies. Cole's like lying to her. And this is like bullshitty Cole stuff. This is my home. No, our home, if you'll still have me. That's all a lie.
Is it?
Yeah.
Or has he made up his mind?
I'm telling you all this stuff straight from the male heart, and you're dismissing it.
I'm not dismissing it. I'm asking if that's really it. You don't think he could have just made up his mind that that's where
no.
he was going to be?
He loves Allison. His heart
but
is with
Allison.
But
he just went and broke up with Allison.
Because he's trying to think he's like escaping from her, but he can't. His escape from his Allison's affair with Noah being the escape from Gabriel is the same as Noah is the same as Cole's affair with Louisa, marriage, whatever the hell they have, is escape from Allison. He has feelings for Allison.
Well, there's I mean, I certainly cannot even pretend to argue the other side of that. There. She kind of breaks down a little and she says she'll still have him. And
it's all bullshit. It's all trouble.
Why would he ask her that? Why would he say, if you'll still have me? She doesn't know anything he's done.
Because it's his. He's got. He's wrestling with the internal struggle that we all have. Like, oh, how do I resolve my conflict about still loving Allison? I'll just go back to Louisa and be the good guy. He's the unhappy hero.
Well,
they give us the answers in all this dialogue. That's the answer. He's the unhappy hero versus the happy asshole.
So that's who he's decided to be.
Yeah.
For good?
Well, I don't know about for good.
Well, he's hugging her and he's looking off with like I wrote dead eyes. You know, he just there's no joy there. There's no relief. There's no gratitude. There's no anything. It's just dead eyes. And then the song that starts playing, you know, makes me completely distrust his word. It was, Hey, That's No Way to Say Goodbye. Recorded in 1967. And, I mean, you know, it's about that's no way to say goodbye, you know? So maybe he's not saying goodbye to Allison, like
you
said.
Yeah, of course not. Anyway, so Michelle, they're going to Paris in one of the two remaining episodes. Somebody's going to Paris.
Huh?
I heard that in somewhere.
Okay, I haven't heard that.
I have no sources or references or any logical explanation for that, but that's what I heard.
Well, it doesn't look like in the next one, because in the next episode, Helen's telling her mom about killing someone and getting smacked. I mean, like, Margaret smacks the crap out of her and tells her not to ever say that again. And this is where Helen asks Allison, you can hear her, I think, saying, see her or something, saying, is anything ever your fault? And then we see like a vision of the wreck. And then Noah goes to Gunther's house, Mike. He goes to his house and Gunther looks really stunned and he's threatening him with a knife and Noah's all wild-eyed. And then we have Vic back and Vic's telling Helen that you just have to learn to live with stuff. With some stuff or something like that. And then we see Noah just like breaking down and crying. So
he's
there's a lot going on
pussy.
In the next episode.
Well, is Gunther's house in Paris?
No. Remember, Gunther's house is in Fishkill?
Is Vic's house in Paris?
I don't know.
Maybe I latched on to Paris for some illogical reason.
Well, there's two more episodes. We also find that out in this season. So we've only got episode 9 and 10. And then, of course, I think we mentioned last time that it's been renewed for the fourth season. So
fourth and final season.
Yep.
All right. I hope Gunther just murders everybody.
No, you don't.
Runs away with Joni. I don't know. Who the hell knows? I want some resolution, though. I don't want, okay, maybe I should be with Allison still. Or maybe I should be with Cole still. I don't know. I want definition. I want definitive, like, courses of action.
You know, I do too, but at this point, I don't know what I'm going to trust because a lot of time has passed by and these people still have these really deep feelings for these other people. I feel bad for Helen. You know, she's the only one out of the initial four. I mean, Noah's not attracted to her. You know, I don't know if he's attracted, but Noah's not wanting anything with her. Cole wants Allison. Allison wants Cole. Helen wants Noah, you know, and Noah's just gone completely off the deep end. So.
Well, then they throw in the whole monkey wrench of, like, Bruce getting back together with Margaret. Those would be the last two people I would ever have thought would have reconciled.
Right, right. Getting back together and saying, well, they know me better. And, you know, this person is this and all this history and all that kind of stuff. So maybe that's the direction they're leading us
in. I hate that. I think Helen needs a new guy. Noah needs a new girl. Allison and Cole each need new people. And Louisa needs us. She needs to come on our podcast.
And that'll make everything better.
What's her name in real life? We got to, like, tweet to her and get her on here.
Okay. I don't know.
All right. We'll work on that, Michelle.
I'll do that.
All right. So if she wants to tweet you back, how does she reach you?
I'm at Michelle from TN.
And I'm at Mike from California. No, I'm at Scathing Tweets. And so we'll go back to the job of trying to figure this out at 309.
Yep. Two more episodes and then we'll have to wait. Oh, something else is coming on soon. What was it? In March, something's coming back on.
Better Call Saul.
Was that it?
Something's on April 10th. I think that might be Fargo. Fargo, okay. Or Saul. One's April, one's March.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I know there's more stuff coming up. That's pretty exciting. Because this is going to go off, and then there's nothing. When do the Americans come back?
We always have this, the slap.
We do. We always have the slap and Rashomon.
Reruns.
Yep.
I don't know about the Americans coming up later.
Yeah.
All right, Michelle, this is a long one. An hour, 40 minutes. So.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay. It's not your fault.
Okay.
All right. So see you next week on 309.
See you then.
Then what happened?